Hey, I usually do a rant on the automotive industry and the state of things and try to add value by seeing the direction that things are going. But today I want to talk about purchasing or leasing cars. And a lot of the guys that are going to listen to this, guys and girls, are going to be in the car business already because you know me. And you don't need this advice because you already know. So, what this is going to be is when your wife's friend, your coworker, your friend on Facebook asks you, "Hey, you're a car person. I'm going to go buy this vehicle or I'm shopping for a new car. What should I know?" You can send them this podcast instead of going over it and scratching your head and going back and forth because they don't have the basics and the baseline. So let's get started. Let's say you're in the market for a car. And I'm going to talk mostly about new-ish cars and leasing. You can't really lease used cars, so that's that. So if you're going to buy a car, it's more straightforward. If you want a good deal, get it 2 or 3 years old. If you have to have it used with new miles, and I respect the feeling you get for being the first person to drive that car, for it being a status symbol, for the perception of reliability, and I'm going to call it a perception because it usually is. Then, when you're getting into the car, first of all, take emotions out of it. When I say getting into the car, when you're looking to get into a car, take the emotions out of it. If you can get last year's model, so car companies come out with new cars every 5 to 7 to 9 years, and they'll have cars on the lot from the previous generation that they just got to move. Maybe it's a bad color combination. Maybe the car is overloaded with options. Maybe whatever. Or the new one is so hot that everybody wants the new one and nobody wants the previous generation anymore. That's a great deal. Jump on that deal because that car was hot 2 years ago or a year ago when it came out. And yeah, they may have killed it with technology, they may have killed it with styling, but guess what? You're getting a great deal, right? But let's talk about why you would buy a car versus why you would lease a car. So if you're going to buy a car, my assumption is you're going to keep it for 6 to 10 years. If you're going to buy a car and then you're going to buy another car in 3 years and then you're going to buy another car in 3 years, you're leasing, but you're actually paying a bit more. You're taking a bigger depreciation hit usually. Something like a, I don't know, a Jeep Wrangler, those cars lease so poorly and hold their value so well. Then buying a new one every 3 years actually does make sense. But generally speaking, if you're going to keep a car for 6 to 10 years, okay, that's when we're talking about buying. And that's when we also have to talk about a little bit of maintenance. So my assumption is you're getting a car that you want to keep for 6 to 10 years. And if that's the case, you want a car that's reliable. So now we're going to talk about some of the mainstream German stuff. Most of the Japanese stuff, Toyota, Honda. Try to stay away from the latest new technology that just came out. First thing that pops in my mind is when BMW released their direct injection motors, they had problems. In fact, now that I think about it, most companies that I know of, when they come out with a new generation of vehicle where it's using a new engine, new drivetrain, new technology, don't get the first 2 years. If you're going to purchase, don't get the first 2 years of that production year, of production of that model, because they will have problems. You're going to be in and out of the dealer more often than if you're 5 years into a model and they've figured things out. So let's say a model came out in 2012, 2013, right? Today's 2018, 5 years later, they're not going to have a new one for a couple of years. Now's a good time to get into that model. So that's pretty basic, pretty straightforward. If you're listening to my advice and you're buying a car 2 to 3 years old, be flexible. If you know roughly what color, what car you want. Be flexible on interior color. Be flexible on exterior color. Be flexible on options, on mileage. Those things are not as important as how was the car taken care of. You're gonna, if it's 2 to 3 years old, it's probably been fairly well maintained. It's been under warranty. People just automatically take it to the dealer, especially if the dealer covers maintenance. You're pretty golden. It's gonna need brakes. Hopefully the dealer, because you're likely buying from a dealer if it's 2 or 3 years old. Hopefully the dealer has serviced the car, right? So it wouldn't hurt, depends how much you're spending. It wouldn't hurt if you're buying from a dealer to have the car inspected, called a pre-purchase inspection. Pay somebody $300, $200, $500, depends how lengthy it is and how intensive it is. Spend a little bit of time, because dealers are no different than they used to be. They're going to try to put as little money into the car as possible to get it sellable, quote unquote, and put it in your hands. So check the tires, check the brakes. What I mean is pads and rotors. The light might not be on, but they might be 20% left, 30% left. And technically they have rules where they can't do that, but sometimes they haven't gotten to it yet, quote unquote, or, you know, they're waiting to have a buyer for the car to do it. And then they forgot. There's a lot of excuses in the auto business. So that's buying. Buying is kind of straightforward. Leasing is a bit more complicated. And the reason leasing is a bit more complicated is it's going to be only on new vehicles. And it's going to be a numbers game. And I'll elaborate a bit more on that in a second. So the first thing you're going to want when leasing a car is, what car do you want? Now, this starts macro. Do you want not just a crossover, but which crossover? Do you want a Honda? Do you want a Lexus? Do you want a BMW? Do you want a Porsche? Do you want a sedan? Which sedan? It's important that once you narrow down sort of what works for you or what you need, first of all, be honest with yourself. What do you need? If you're getting into a 7-passenger SUV and it's, you know, you, your spouse, and a kid, and a dog, why? You want it, fine. I mean, I'm not judging, but you're paying for a lot of car you're driving around that you're not using. You like that? Cool. You know, there's a lot of guys driving around Raptors that are sitting in traffic. Fine. So know which kind of car you want specifically. Then understand that you need to go drive that car, not just sit in it, actually drive it, and drive different variations, different engine sizes, and then drive the competition. It'll take you a little bit more time, but drive the competition, because you may find that just the ergonomics, right? You'll read a car review, you go online, you read that this one is better than that one, great. But then you sit in it and you're not comfortable, it's a deal breaker, right? You sit in it, and for my wife, she has to sit close to the steering wheel because she's on the petite side, and her visibility is all skew, or she's too close to the steering wheel, so when the airbag goes off, it'll hurt her. Or she's too close to the top of the windshield because of the windshield rake. Well, that's not the car for you. You may have wanted it. That might be the thing that you really wanted, but that you really shouldn't go that route. Try the competition to that car. And let's be honest, there isn't a car out there today that doesn't have a competitor, right? You might not, you know, you might be looking for a Honda, but the Ford fits you better. Get the Ford. It's a lease. It's 3 years old. Who cares? You'll be out of it in 3 years, and either you will now have a better appreciation for Fords, or you'll want to try a Chevy, or you'll want to try a Toyota, or maybe in 3 years you're in a better position, maybe you want to try a Lexus or a BMW, right? None of these things are earth-shattering decisions. So once you know what kind of car you want, let's say a specific make and model, understand that a particular make and model of car can vary in price by, I don't know, 30%, 40%. You can get into a, what's popular right now, a Volvo XC60. They start at 39, I believe, and you can get it for 60. That's twice as much, just purely based on options. So you know what car you want, but based on options, your monthly payment is completely askew. It's way out of whack. And, by the way, and I'm going to do the dealers a favor here, you will not find a car on the lot that is a base car. You won't. It's possible. I mean, you can send me a link showing me that I'm wrong, but generally speaking, they don't exist. They don't exist for a reason. The base model car, theoretically on paper, is out there so that they can tell you they start at $39,995. But the way the manufacturer sends it to the dealers and the way the dealers order them, they're going to be loaded with a couple grand, $4,000, $10,000, $30,000 worth of stuff on them. Sometimes they send one that's fully loaded just so you can have it sitting on the showroom floor so you can show all the cool switches and doodads and buttons and self-driving and self-parking and all that cool stuff that really gets you excited about the car. But then now you're in a lease payment that's an XC90, not an XC60, a much bigger car. Which, does that make sense for you? Well, that's entirely up to you. So now you know what the car you want. And let's say you've got an idea on payment / budget, right? Understand that the dealer has a price that they call invoice price. So it's MSRP. Don't pay MSRP. That's obvious. The area you're playing in generally is between invoice or list and MSRP. You're getting a crazy good deal if you get back of invoice, back of list. So typically between what the dealer actually paid and their paperwork and the MSRP and the markup, there's like four different numbers. And you're trying to get obviously as close to what they actually paid for it as possible. And I'm going to tell you how to do that in a second. So know the numbers of the car. And understand that when you're talking to a dealer, you need to be talking about a specific car. Now, that might be where they have, let's say it's a car that's a, in the example of the XC60, they'll have, there is no $39,995 car, right? So there'll be a $43,000 car, $43,220. I'm just making up numbers right now. And there'll be five cars with that exact number, and they do that on purpose. And those five cars will be a black with light interior, a white with white interior, a white with black interior, a red, a beige with a tan interior. So they'll have options that don't cost any more or less. They'll have the same wheel package, sports package, optics package, technology package preloaded. And the number will be the same. So the lease on those cars will be identical. So now you're just trying to make the best possible deal on that car. Go on their website and find the car you want. Get that stock number before you even go back to the dealer after your test drive. Email them, your salesperson, whoever helped you with the test drive. Text them, email them, tell them, this car, what's the best number on this car? And then find out who your two other closest dealers to you are and pit them against each other. Who can get me the best deal on this car or something equivalent? And be flexible. If somebody's got a car that's a grand more, but they'll give it to you for the same lease payment as this car that's a grand less, maybe that makes sense to you. Maybe it doesn't because it's the wrong color for you. Fine. But be flexible. Understand that they may try to play games. You have to know the economics of a lease. So if it's a 36-month, 12,000-mile lease, and you're $50 off on your lease payment that just economically makes sense to you, they might give you a 39-month, 10,000-mile lease and say, hey, I got you that number. Well, they didn't really get you that number. You're making more payments. They're smaller payments, but you're making more payments. And you're getting fewer use out of it, fewer mileage, 12,000 to 10,000. So understand how those economics work. a 36-month lease at 12,000 miles leases at a X number. A 39-month lease at 10,000 miles or 8,000 miles leases at a different number. They're going to ask you, hey, can you put any money down? Never put any money down. The only thing you should be paying at drive-off is the first month payment. That's fine. There's no problem with that. Anything additional to that, the economics don't really make sense. So nothing out of pocket, nothing down. Because look, if we're $1,000 off on a payment and they're like, hey, if you give me $100,000 towards the car or, you know, half the value of the car, we'll make your payment smaller. Well, no kidding, but that's not a good deal. That's just me taking money out of my pocket, putting it in your pocket so you can make the payment smaller because now the car costs less. That's silly. So understand the economics is going to be the number one thing, and know which car you want. When you go in, finally, to make a deal, some things are still true today as they were 30 years ago. Go at the end of the month. Everybody's paycheck is month to month, based on performance, based on how many cars they've moved, that kind of thing. At the end of the month, they are more willing to make a deal. Know which car you're talking about. Don't speak in generalities. Pay close attention to the options on the car. The Monroney sticker, which is the window sticker, it's right there for everybody to see. And you're looking at, oh, it's got this package, got this package, got this package. And towards the bottom, it's going to have a couple hundred bucks worth of bullshit. It's going to have some cables for you to connect your phone. It's going to have some, like a cool foldable box that says, you know, their brand on it. It's going to have a spill-proof car liner. I'm going to tell you, honestly, you can get all that stuff on Amazon a lot cheaper. Take it off the Monroney sticker. If you can take $400, $500, $600 off the Monroney sticker, that's some money towards your payment. It counts. You don't have to lease that from them. Why? That doesn't make any sense. When you're sitting down in front of them, if you don't go, this number isn't what I wanted it to be, or I want more miles but for this number, something along those lines. And if the sales guy says, I'm at the end of what I can do, that's when you walk away. That's when you go, cool, don't be rude about it. Cool, let me know if you can do any better. Maybe there'll be some incentives in a month. I'm not in a huge hurry. I'd like to get the car today on these numbers that I'm giving you. He's going to go back to his manager, and his sales manager is going to get out of his chair, get out of his little glass room, and walk over to you. And his sales manager is going to try to close you. That's when you're actually negotiating. And the sales manager is a serious one. So in your head, you've got a number, you've got a car, you've got miles, you've got the deal in your head that you're okay with. And maybe you want to do, let's say, 10%, 5% less than that, just to see if you can hustle them a little bit on your end. Do that. Throw that number at the sales manager and go, here's the number that puts me into the car today. I respect if you can't make it happen. I understand it's a popular car. I understand it's a popular option. I understand you've got five people here also looking to buy this exact car, that's what they're going to say. I understand you've got no more room. They always do. Here is where I'm buying the car today. It's cool if you can't make it. This street, right, you're 90% of the time you're going to be on a street full of dealers. Your competitor is right across the street. If they can make the deal I'm looking for, it is what it is. Guys, we're all, you know, we're not taking this personally. When you get into the finance, let's say they go, you know what, I like your face. Let's go get let's make this deal happen. Here's the numbers. There you go. They're going to take you to the finance department where they're going to print out all the paperwork. The finance department, regardless of what they say to you, is another profit center. They will sell you things, some things you may want. I'm not saying this as though somebody's trying to pull one over on you, or they're trying to hustle you, or they're trying to cheat you, but it is a profit center. What that means is, they will also sell you things. They will sell you packages. They will sell you if you're the, let's say if the brand of the car that you're buying does not include service, so oil changes and that kind of stuff. And let's say you're the kind of person that will only take the car to the dealer. Like, I know people, and I run shops, so when I need an oil change, I just take care of it. I never go to the dealer for that. But let's say you're the kind of person that, that is. Great. If they say an oil change costs $500, you'll need three of them within this lease term for $1,000 bought now within this arrangement, we'll cover all three services. Well, the economics make sense. Get it. Or you've got a five-year-old, a Great Dane, and you're messy, and a light interior. For $800, for $1,000, for $1,200, for $1,200, it makes sense to get the extra protection. Because somebody's going to break a vent, somebody's going to tear the leather, somebody's going to screw something up, spill something, whatever, that will cost you a lot of money in the end. And always remember, everything's negotiable. So if they tell you, oh, this package is $1,400, go, oh, no, that's a lot of money. Is there any kind of deal discount? They could probably drop it down to like $800. I'm not giving you exact numbers, but you'd be surprised how much margins in those things. Tires. Most tires, you have to return the lease with a certain amount of tire left on, a certain amount of rubber left on the tire. And the tires are not going to wear evenly. So even though when you look precursory on the outside of the tire, you, it looks like you have enough tread, if you stick your head in underneath the car, it'll probably be more worn on the inside. That's got to do with the dynamics of the car, the handling, and the alignment. And you can't do anything about that, regardless of what they tell you when they align the car. So you'll probably owe tires. If the tires are $200-$300 each, plus mount and balance, and they'll sell you a $500 package that will replace all four tires, do that. It makes sense. Know this going in, though. They're also going to sell you window tint and a dog bed with the same interior and your name embroidered on it, like the same leather as your car kind of thing. Or, I don't know, a wrap, paint protection, blah, 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 blah. That stuff usually doesn't make sense because all they're doing is calling a third-party vendor to come in, do it, and then they're marking it up. You can usually get that same deal from a third-party vendor that they're getting, so you're getting wholesale, which is actually retail. How that makes sense is maybe you don't want to pay $1,600 for a color correction and paint sealer, or it might be $3,000, or it might be $8,000, depending on what kind of car you have and what quality of service you're looking for. You don't want to pay that lump sum. You want to roll it into a deal. Go for it. Again, this isn't a scam, but you are paying a premium for convenience. And then finally, if you are buying the car and you have it for 6 to 10 years, maintain it well. Use good quality oil, filters, air filters. Go to a reputable shop. Make sure they're using the correct components. So here's a specific example. Cars have been known to have engine failures if you didn't change your oil within the oil interval, in the correct intervals, or if you use the wrong oil. I'm not going to give you specifics of which car this happens to. Early E46 M3s had this problem with engine failures if you over-rev them. Maserati Ghiblis have had engine failures if you didn't change your oil often enough or use the correct oil. And they would blame the owner or the independent shop if you didn't use Maserati-approved oil and Maserati-approved oil filter and did it in the exact amount of time. If you're going to own the car and you know you're the kind of person that's going to put 200,000 miles on it, service it more often than it says, especially if it's a German car. So if a German car says service it every 10,000 miles, service it every 7,000 miles and use really good quality components and oils and lubricants. Partially the reason for that is, it gets complicated, but one of the reasons is in Germany, the fuel is of a much higher quality or grade than the fuel in the U.S. and other places in the world. fuel, when it burn gets when the fuel gets burned, that's one of the leading factors to the contamination of your oil. Your oil gets dirty and darker and is unable to suspend all the particles and gets saturated more quickly in the U.S. and also under the drying conditions in the U.S. than it does in Europe and especially Germany. So if that motor, if they say 10,000 miles on a Porsche or a BMW, and there's a lot of stuff that's controlled by oil pressure and correctly functioning lubrication system, change it more often. It'll cost you less. I promise you that. Use the correct octane fuel. So any car made in the last 10 years that says use 91 octane, you can get away with 87 octane. But you'll get less horsepower and less performance. And why'd you get that car if you're getting 10, 15% less horsepower? You could have gotten a cheaper car, right? So if it says 91 octane, use 91 octane. If it says use good quality oil, use good quality oil. It's just a peace of mind and it makes sense. And I promise you the chemistry and the mechanics are there. We're not going to get into it in this discussion. If the car is a lease, insofar as protecting your ass for potential liability, save as much money as possible. If you sit in everyday traffic and you don't care about horsepower and you got an M5 because you wanted to pull up with an M5 to the restaurant or to work and you never go past quarter throttle, put 87 octane into it. I don't give a shit. It's not going to cause any harm. I don't care what they tell you. Not in a three-year lease. The guy who's going to get the car after you, he's not getting the best possible car. You're not doing that car any favors. You're going to have carbon buildup and blah, blah, blah. But so what? It's a lease. Same goes with lubricants. When you go, the reason you would go to the independent shop instead of going to the dealer is labor cost. The independent shop might be at 150. This is speaking for Los Angeles for something like a BMW. 150, 160, whatever it is. The dealer is going to be 2 to 10 to 20 to 30 per hour. And also the dealer is not really going to charge you what it actually takes to do, whereas an independent service shop probably will or can, especially if you build a relationship. Just make sure that they do use a good enough quality of oil, a good enough quality of oil filter, that if there are problems down the road, that either you put the ball in their court and say, hey, I took it here, they serviced it, the engine blew up. When the light came on, I took it in, they serviced it, it's on them, right? You can try to play that game, but it's less important. When you take your leased car to the service department, you will be offered flushes and rotations and alignments. And I'm not going to speak specifically to what you should or shouldn't do, but understand that that is a profit center and that you're only keeping the car for 3 years and that more than likely you should only pay for what is required and what is recommended. Maybe you should go home and do a little research, and there's lots of information online, or text me, DM me, whatever, and I will tell you if the coolant flush on a 1.5-year-old BMW in Southern California or Arizona or New Mexico where it's super dry makes sense or doesn't, or brake flush. Like, for example, just to get slightly into the weeds, they'll tell you you need brake fluid after 2 years, regardless of how many miles you've driven and regardless of outside conditions. And it's partially true. Brake fluid is what's known as hydroscopic. It absorbs moisture from the atmosphere, and if you have moisture, water in your brake fluid, the boiling point lowers. It can cause problems. It can cause corrosion, but it can also cause braking problems where it just boils and you don't have a brake. You don't have brakes anymore. So that is true, but that's far more common in Malibu, Santa Monica, by the beach, or in Florida, high humidity, the Carolinas, that kind of thing, then it is somewhere that's super duper dry, right? So that's getting a little bit into the weeds, and I don't expect you to understand that, but understand that you can go into the service department to get your oil change, your what else? Oil filter. Get that stuff done to clear that service light so you can drive out of there. And if they give you a list or call you with a list of things, it's okay to take that list and say, thank you, go home and do a little homework. And then on your next service, do those things then. Let me know if this was helpful, guys. Like I said, this is really more for your spouse, your partner, your friend, your neighbor, you know, the lady walking her dog past your house that knows that you're into cars and asks you a bunch of questions that you've answered 30,000 times. Just send them to this podcast. Hopefully this was helpful. Hit me up on Facebook or Instagram and let me know what you thought. Thank you. Take care.